Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, the 26th of February, 2012. Jesus is led into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome to Lent. 4 days into it, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Today's not the fifth day. Right? That starts on Monday. Because the Sundays of Lent don't exist during Lent. And I didn't know that till I was in seminary. And I'm counting all the days out. And I'm like, I get 45 days of Lent. How does that work? And yet we have, obviously, the first Sunday of Lent. So while it's not part of our 40-day fast, it is part of Lent, and an important part. Why 40 days? Well, 40 days in the desert with Jesus, 40 years in the desert with the Israelites, 40 days on the mountaintop with Moses. Elijah fasted for 40 days. It seems that we just need 40 days. Often, 40 days is long enough to break a bad habit, or hopefully gain a new habit. So I'd suggest you still have time left for your habit forming. You can include Sundays. Right? So you still have 4 days left until Easter. What will you do differently this Lent? Or will you do what you've done all the other Lents of your life, which is either a lot or a little, which is chocolate or no chocolate, television or no television? Now, a lot of the young adults that I minister to on Facebook said, "Goodbye, I'm giving up Facebook for Lent." And I'm like, good for you. That's impressive, right? That's a huge part of their life. And they're taking a break from something they really love. And many of them said they would spend the time they normally were on Facebook reading their Bible. I'm like, wow. I need to read my Bible more. These kids are reading it more than I am, right? That's good news. The gospel is good news. But it's also a subversive proclamation. As we've been hearing with Father Robert Barron, the only person who could declare good news was Caesar. Right? It was a declaration of a victory in battle. Good news. Evangelium. Come and listen to the good news. The writer has come from Rome and he's about to proclaim good news. And what happens here? Jesus, after a 40-day retreat in the desert, why does he go on that 40-day retreat? To figure out what just happened. Right? He'd been living a quiet life at home with his mom, take over his dad's business. He goes to see his cousin, is baptized in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit descends upon him. The clouds open. He hears from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Uh-oh. Right? And then the Gospel of Mark picks up right there. He goes to the desert for a 40-day retreat, and we have no details. Mark is the sparsest of all the Gospels, and yet the first written. And so Matthew and Luke pattern theirs after Mark, and they had more material. They have the questions that Satan asked Jesus in the desert, and Jesus' response, which is where we get the line from today's gospel verse. It's not an Alleluia verse, right? One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Again, please read your Bibles. Jesus returns and he declares the gospel of God. He makes two declarations of fact, and then he asks us to act. What are his declarations of fact? Now. Here. Now is the time of fulfillment, and the kingdom of God is here. And the beauty about the way Jesus speaks, it's all in the present tense forever. So it's in the present tense for us as well. The time is now. Where is the kingdom of God? Here. Okay, now what do we need to do? Repent and believe. What does repent mean? Right? To turn away from one thing and hopefully to turn toward the right thing. We can't repent of this sin and pick up another sin. That's not, it's not just the end of sin. It has to include that turning to the right direction and following Jesus. Turning from our isolation from God to communion with God. The desert has always been that meeting place of the Israelites, of the saints, of the mystics with God. They go to a place without distraction to meet the one who has always been with them. Right, I think I owe my vocation to the priesthood and finally saying yes to God to kayaking to work in the morning. Because I had 38 minutes for 2 years of silence every morning, I mean, that the ship was in. And I would kayak from the mall in Wrangell, in the mall in Ketchikan down to the Coast Guard base. Because my apartment was just across the street, and it changed me. There was a lot of silence. I didn't have an iPad or iPod or Walkman, and who'd want to listen to those while you're out kayaking? It's so wonderful to be out in the water with the animals. Saw amazing reflections, right? The water so still that you almost felt you were intruding on it with your wake. Where will be your desert place this Lent? Where will you set aside that quiet time to really commune with God? For each of us, it will have to be different. And yet, with these readings, we go together on this retreat, right? These are the topic matters. How are we then to believe in the good news? It's not a proclamation by Caesar that he's won a victory. It's a proclamation by Christ that God is with us. Wants to be so with us, right, that he undergoes baptism. That he undergoes temptation in the desert. As we near Holy Week, right, that he's rejected by friends and leaders. That he goes through his passion, death, and resurrection that we might rise with him. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that we have salvation in Christ, and it doesn't rely on us, right? If salvation was up to me, I wouldn't make it. I'm not strong enough. But salvation is by Christ as a free gift. Maybe a little story that I heard while in Oregon. Little boy gets a paper route. He's maybe second grade, which means, right, the parents do a lot of paper folding. This was a little one of the little routes in the little village where papers were delivered by bicycle. And he earns a whopping $1.50 a week to deliver all the papers. He really wants a puppy. So his parents go with him to the pet store in the big city. And the little boy is very charged up about this, marches right in there and asks the owner, "How much are the puppies? I want to buy a puppy. What puppies do you have?" It was just tons of questions. So they go back to the little puppy kennels, and there's lots of beautiful puppies. And the price is $50 and up. I said, "Little boy, go to the pound, right? Adopt an animal from the St. Francis shelter, please." I guess they didn't have that. He goes, he can't find a puppy that he can afford. And he's just crestfallen. The owner of the shop, his wife brings out another puppy that's all kind of wrapped in a blanket, and she's holding it, and it's you know, happy little puppy. But she doesn't ever set it down. And the boy's like, "Is that puppy for sale?" Hoping, right? Just hoping. It might not be so expensive. And the owner says, no, it's not for sale. It's defective. It has a birth defect, and it's never formed its left hip. And so its rear leg just kind of drags. It's not in any pain, but it'll just never run and play. I can't sell you this puppy. And the boy's like, "Oh no, you need to sell me that puppy. That's the puppy I want. And I'll pay full price." The owner's like, "No, I told you, I'm not selling you this puppy. I don't sell damaged goods." The boy rolls up his own pant leg and shows the metal brace that's holding his leg straight. He says, "It's okay that it won't run and play well, because neither do I. But I really want that puppy. Here's my $1.50, and I'll be back to pay the rest off." This little puppy is worth at least as much, if not more, than the rest. Jesus enters into our life. He's not God from afar, setting signs in the clouds. He's God with us, right next to us, experiencing the same challenges, hunger, thirst, heat. "Lord, bring me some heat." I mean, every time we talk about these readings in the spring in Alaska, I'm like, "I'll go. Take me to the desert. I'll go." You know, it's about to bloom down there. It's, my brother said it was 82 degrees in Los Angeles. I'm like, that's more than twice of what it is here. Jesus enters into our lives. He is God with us. Let's journey with him so that we can, right, do those things. Repent and believe.
Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.